What's going on, Packers fans? Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy New Year's Eve. Hope you're all staying safe and doing something fun with family and friends. After, obviously, we hang out and we talk some Packers, because that's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide, including our friends over there across the pond in Ireland. Exciting stuff happening around the green and gold and the potential for another international game. And before you start, I don't care. I know you're all going to sit there and say, oh, they lost in London and they lost in Brazil. I do not care. I love the fact that the Packers have opportunities to play all over the world in front of fans that would otherwise never get the opportunity to see their favorite team in person. And that is what this is, an opportunity for the Green Bay Packers to play in front of fans who would never, ever in a million years get the chance to see them. Obviously, it's also a push for the NFL to get broadcast media rights around the world, but that's another subject that I don't even want to discuss or deal with right now, because I am so excited at the prospect of the Packers playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the regular season next year in 2025 over there in Ireland. Initially, this was brought up by Jerry Dulac, sorry for the mispronunciation, of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He reported that the Steelers were set to play in Ireland next season. And then Noah Strachbein, who I'm not familiar with, but does cover the Steelers for Sports Illustrated, added on in his report that the Green Bay Packers were set to be the opponent. Nothing's official, nothing's been announced by the league, but I definitely trust this sourcing to the point where I'm excited to talk about it, because, baby, can you imagine Steelers fans and Packers fans in Ireland? I mean, I've been banging the drum to get the Packers over to Germany, and that, I think, will happen eventually down the road. That will be amazing. But this, a game in Ireland, please, 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 NFL, make this happen, because I'll be there with bells on. Cheesehead TV will be in the house, and it'll be a ton of fun. Now, clearly, I know most Packers fans' first response is always, does this take away a home game? Do they have to lose a game at Lambeau? And no, the Steelers would be the home team in this situation. So, the Packers, this would be a real road game, a very far away road game, but a game that the Packers would be on the international stage once again, this time to get the W. I'm sorry, Steelers fans, but the Packers are going to go over there and kick some ass. I can't wait. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody already mixing it up and some negative comments about this potential matchup, but I don't care. Like I said, I'm so excited. Very, very excited. Let's give a shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. Do it, folks. Big college football game on tonight. I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about college football, so I'm not putting out a lineup for that one. But you should do it if you're a college football fan. Send me your lineup. Use code CHTV. There's a link in the description of this video to get on board and have some fun with Prize Picks. All right, folks, what's going on? Let's get to your comments and questions, starting with Dustin. How you doing, man? Everyone jumping off the ship. More room for us on the Super Bowl train. Then you see you in Ireland, Nags. Go Pack, go. I love it, baby. I love it. And look, I said yesterday, I understand Packers fans being despondent, or as you're saying, jumping off the bandwagon, the ship, whatever. Hey, man, I get it. People are going to fan different ways. I'm still hopeful. I still think they could shock the world. I don't expect it to happen, but it'll be a very pleasant surprise if it does. I'll tell you that. Ralph, what's going on, man? Can't believe a team with Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, and these weapons has trouble with cover two. Man, it's been our Achilles heel for a long time. Yeah, cover two, not, I mean, mostly just two man, like a two high shell of some kind, right? Because they played, they being the Vikings, played a bunch of man. But to your point, Ralph, yes, going back to the days of McCarthy and Rodgers, that too high look has given the Packers plenty of problems. Now, old heads know the way to get a team out of that too high look is to run the football. The Packers did that somewhat effectively against the Vikings. The problem was, by the time they could really kind of drill down and get back to a running game, they were down multiple scores, playing kind of catch-up ball, right? And they weren't very successful in extending drives. Third down conversions didn't really start happening until later in the game. So I understand why they kind of somewhat had to abandon it. But, you know, they were over 4 yards a carry when Josh Jacobs was toting the rock and not fumbling it. If they had been able to kind of continue in that vein, I think they would have had a little bit more success. But you're right, it's been a bugaboo. And I said it yesterday, and I'll keep saying it, given what they've put on tape against the Vikings and the Lions, I would not be surprised if, you know, the Bears come out on Sunday and play a ton of man coverage, even though that has not been their strict MO. Yeah, I think LaFleur and company should be ready for a bunch of man going forward until they show they can beat it. Because as of late, they have not. M, what's up, man? I've always considered Matt LaFleur a cornerstone of Green Bay. Now I'm questioning his ability to lead the team through hard times. I hope he's going to prove me wrong. Oh, M, do not be despondent, sir. I do not doubt for a moment that Matt will have them ready to play, not only this Sunday, but going into the postseason. Yes, it was a tough game on Sunday, and it's been disheartening the way they've come out slowly against the better teams they've faced this year. But they've still made those games nail-biters at the end for the most part. It's not like they've laid down and just gotten whacked. And they've beaten all the teams they're supposed to beat. I do understand people having questions about LaFleur, but he's still one of the best coaches in the league. And there is certainly a component to this year's roster and their approach, especially offensively, that has tripped them up at times against, again, the best teams. But that doesn't mean they can't go into the playoffs and shock you. You know, talk about leadership. I think Matt still has a very good handle on his team, this roster, and an ability to get the most out of them. I've talked about it quite a bit. I talked about it on the radio today. I talked about it on Daily yesterday and in the post game. I do think he needs to loosen up a little bit. Just a little bit. Let his guys get loose and just play a little freer. But for the most part, I think he is still the man in Green Bay and the man they need. I do not doubt that for a moment. Klaus, what's going on? Seems like I need to save up some money. I hope it's going to happen. Go Pack Go. I mean, it's closer to you than it is to me. Hope to see you there, brother. Greg, thank you for the super chat, man. Nags, in line with others, I just got to leave all of the Packers Facebook groups. It's just nothing but doom and gloom. I have better things to do, like get mad because Carry the G isn't available in Massachusetts. Go Pack Go. Craig, really appreciate the super chat, man. And yeah, it's tough. Like I always say, fan how you want to fan, but that doesn't mean I need to engage with it, right? That doesn't mean that I need to subject myself to it. And you're right. There is a section of the fandom, maybe especially on Facebook, that, yeah, is really negative and really kind of suddenly out on the team. Although it is great. My buddy Nick over there at You Better You Bet, he put it perfectly. It's like last week when they destroyed the Saints, it was like, especially nationally, it was, oh, get on board the bandwagon. Your Packers are going to be a problem. They are Super Bowl contenders. And then they lose a game by 2 points, and suddenly, oh, the Packers got tons of problems. They're going to be one and done. It's like, come on, can we just pull back and have a little perspective? Just a little bit? I mean, I know, I'm talking about Packers fans here, so who am I kidding? Edgar, thank you for the super chat, man. Hey, Nags, been a huge fan for some time now. I'm always listening on Spotify. Finally caught a live Go Pack Go. Edgar, thank you so much, man. Shout out for listening and or watching on Spotify. I know we're available video-wise on Spotify these days. The Spotify audience has really grown. I cannot thank you guys enough for the engagement over there. It's crazy. Month by month, the numbers are really growing. And I did want to give a shout out to whoever it was. I missed the name. Left a comment, I want to say a couple weeks ago, and they said, well, this is ridiculous. There are like two sections of ads and blah, blah. It's like an old radio show, and not in a good way, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's a little tip for you. If you are sick of the ads on Spotify, you can always subscribe on Patreon. The podcast is always available to all Patreon members ad-free. All we ask is $5 a month. I think that's a good trade-off. I'm just saying. But thank you, Edgar. I really appreciate it, man. Thanks for saying hello. Thanks for catching us live. Dustin, thanks again, man. One Super Bowl from the sixth. Now we will do it from the seventh. It's possible, Dustin. Again, not going to sit here and say, oh, it's a wrap. They're going to do it. But I definitely like their chances. Ohio Mike, thanks for the super chat, man. It feels a season early. We have lost to the three, quote, better NFC teams, but took care of business elsewhere. Dallas tortured us in the 90s. Then we pulled away. I think we are on course. It just takes time. I think that's an entirely fair take and kind of viewpoint, right? Again, I think they could make noise this year, but I would not be surprised if you're correct, Mike. I know that feeling of, yeah, they're probably a year away. And I talked about this yesterday. I understand it. It feels like the early 90s, to your point, right? It's no doubt hard to watch every time you get up for a big game and your team comes up just short, especially against two division rivals. That sticks. Yeah, that sticks with you as a fan, and it's hard to shake. But, man, this league is littered with teams and games that defy expectations. It's why they call it a week-to-week league, which it most certainly is. Got to go 1-0 every week. We will see. Mike, how you doing, man? We cut Jair. We will have close to $70 million in cap next year. Think we spend big in free agency or cornerback or draft one? I have heard DJ Reed rumors. I would ignore any name rumors at this point. But, yeah, they have some real flexibility this offseason, even if they don't cut Jair or get rid of him. But I do think that probably will happen. But yes, they have taken their medicine now from kicking the can so many years kind of into and out of the COVID year and trying to keep the band together, so to speak, for a last push with Aaron Rodgers. This is the final year where they've kind of had to take their cap medicine. So hopefully, you know, we'll see some maneuvering this offseason. And that does include, don't forget, that does include re-signing your own guys to extensions. I think some of that is going to be, you know, tied up in this. Good Life Designs, thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, how do you compare Jordan Love's development so far to 12-4? Random Packer fan, Brian Baumgartner. There we go. Now we're getting random Packer fans? Oh, my goodness. That's a good question as far as development goes. It's interesting, right? Because, I mean, obviously Favre came in and sat a couple games when he was traded for after that first season and then hit the ground running and then had a really rough second year as a starter. For Rodgers, I don't recall it being as kind of disjointed as it has been the second season as a starter, as it has been for Jordan. Although I will say what's kind of hard to compare because Jordan obviously suffered that injury in the first week of the season, missed time and then came back and was still fighting stuff and then got a new injury, etc. So it's hard to make a true comparison. I will say, I do think all three of those guys, you know, after that first full year as a starter, you come back that second year and the expectation is you're just going to see an automatic jump. And that's what we talked about this summer. It's never automatic. There's growth and development is rarely linear, not never, but rarely linear. I do think you've seen glimpses of greatness from Jordan. You've also seen some true struggles and, you know, parts of his game that he needs to iron out and get better in. No question about it. But as far as like, you know, where it is comparison to the other guys, every kind of year is so different. Every quarterback is different. Every kind of situation is different. Who you're playing with, scheme you're playing in. It's hard to make a direct line comparison. I like it. Mike Witt. Are we ever going to get a Big Cat watch party appearance sometime? Corey and Big Cat interaction would be legendary, in my opinion. I couldn't agree more, Mike. I just don't see it ever happening as long as we're both doing these respective gigs. I certainly couldn't give up revenue from a watch party, and he's busy making $1 billion over there at Barstool. So we've kind of gone back and forth about it in years past, but it's just not logistically possible, which sucks because I do think it'd be a lot of fun. Grant B, what's going on, man? McCarthy's loosen up moment was the 2010 game versus the Pats when he opened up with an onside kick. We are no one's underdog. Matt LaFleur needs this come to Jesus moment. Grant, that is a phenomenal call. I very much agree. You know, what did Mike say? Both hands on the wheel. Definitely nobody's underdog. And look, I said it you know, earlier, Matt is still a great coach. He's still the man in Green Bay. There's no question in my mind. But it's clear he's a little uptight, and it's affecting his players. I will 100% stand behind that. It's, I think, a direct line between how tense things are around the floor with some of these miscues and drops and things of that nature going on the field. You guys are so wound up, so want to make a play so bad because coaches, you got to get a, I got to make a, things, opportunities matter because then I won't get other opportunities. Like, man, these guys got to let it rip. Just hang out, play ball. And it's weird because it's not a quantifiable thing, right? It's not something you can point to and go, yes, that's it. Just do that. But man, I think it's very apparent that something along those lines needs to happen. Ryan, thanks for the super sticker. Really appreciate you, man. Thanks for the support. What's got going on here, folks? Ryan says, Love seems to be more effective in a high-tempo offense. When INTs were a problem, we started leaning on the run more. How can we mesh them both better without hindering Jordan's explosiveness? It's a decent observation, Ryan, and I think it's a tricky spot that they're in because they have kind of molded their identity around that power running game. The whole offense runs through Josh Jacobs, clearly. I do think there should be more opportunities in the play-action game, given how much they do run the ball. And it does feel at times that they are kind of banging their head against a wall. Look, no one loves that more than me, Mr. You know, run the fucking ball. I would hope it would set up more opportunities down the field, though. And I don't think they should be so scared. I don't think scared is the right word, but they seem reticent to attack the middle of the field. I mean, look at that game on Sunday. So much outside the numbers. They finally hit Tucker Kraft for a big one down the seam late in the game. Obviously, because, you know, big part of that is how Minnesota was playing at that point, their approach, I mean. But, man, they've got to get that play-action game going. And I think that will help open up some of what Jordan's kind of maybe struggling with as far as his rhythm goes. Maybe we should just play hurry-up offense the whole game. Can't be doing that. Can't be doing that. You wear out your guys, first of all. And there's still value in being able to substitute, get personnel in and out, and take advantage of looks and kind of tendencies on the defense and things like that. But I do think it would behoove them to get into the hurry up slash up tempo stuff earlier in the game. And they did some of that in Seattle, and we saw a glimpse of it against Minnesota. But I just think, especially when the playoffs come, I think tempo is your friend. Let Jordan drive a little bit. driving crooner, what's up? I just refuse to believe that the Vikings and Lions will play in the Super Bowl. It just wouldn't be right. Well, that's impossible for them both to play. But I think I understand what you're saying. Either one of them to play in the Super Bowl would be an out-of-body experience. No question about it. Do you think they could relax and let it rip more if the wide receiver roles were more clearly defined? I don't think that's the issue. I really don't. I do think time on task and reps together and things like that does matter. And knowing where guys are going to be as far as their breaks and things like that, that only comes with repetition, playing together with certain kind of concepts, etc. But man, I do think there's enough talent there and there's enough kind of, you know, opportunity to go around if they can extend drives and actually stay on the field. Yeah, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that that's an issue. Holmes, what's up, man? Yeah, Nags, if you are running a bunch of power, it's tough to play up tempo. Guys get gassed quick. I mean, that's part of it, right? I think, like I said, there's still value in that approach, but I do think it would help them as a changeup every once in a while. David, thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. Everyone plays on Sunday? I think so. I was kind of going back and forth saying, you know, I'm not so sure, but talking to Billy on the radio this morning, he made a kind of a good point. In summation, a object in motion stays in motion, right? I think especially coming off how disjointed and downright poorly they played coming out of the gate on offense this past week, I think they're going to want to have a good game under their belt heading into the postseason. I think they'll play the guys. Mike Witt, what's going on, man? Wish we could somehow get more snaps for Heath. Seems like every time he gets playing time, he makes plays. Maybe I'm wrong. I hear you, man. I think Heath and Melton both had really good games in Minnesota. And perhaps if Christian Watson remains out, they'll get more opportunities. It's a possibility, especially. Now, here's the kind of, you know, double-edged sword here. I love the idea of getting both those guys more involved, but it would most likely be at the expense of opportunities for Jaden Reed. You're trying to get Jaden Reed going, especially going into the postseason. He keeps dropping these passes. Got to get him going. That is a big component. Braden, what's going on, man? The stars will align perfect. Call me optimistic, but three magical things can happen in 2025 that are Packers related. I like where your head's at, man. I absolutely love it. But let's go. Three magical things. Ben, this is a funny. Why do we run so much when our offensive line is not built for the run? I'm going to disagree with your police work there. I think they're built to do it all. And yes, they are an elite pass protecting unit, but they have become a very, very good, especially power run game unit. I get sometimes there's stretches where they're maybe not as productive as we would like, but there is zero doubt in my mind. They are very, very good and probably underrated in that regard. G Money, thanks for checking out the stream on Twitter. Not one screen from us on Sunday. What the fuck? And we did not defend the screen well either. I think part of that last part is, you know, you're so desperate to get pressure on the quarterback, and that sometimes you can get taken advantage of, and that probably does occur from time to time against Green Bay. As far as the offense, I think they ran one screen, if I remember right. But yes, that Corey's been screaming for it, and they ran a couple against the Saints, and you know, it's been kind of hit and miss, intermittent. But I'm with you, man. It seems like it should be such a big part of their arsenal, and it's just very rarely becomes a regular part of the game plan. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe, you know, they don't want to take Jacobs off the field for Wilson or whatever, although that's what they did when they got multiple scores down in Minnesota, because I think they like Wilson in the two-minute work, the up-tempo stuff. But yeah, I'm with you. And I think Jacobs could run it. I don't doubt for a moment you get him going on some of those screens, especially on second or third and long. You can make some hay, but yeah, it's been a mystery, man. I very much agree with you. Oh, Sean Winters here. Sean Winters here with some numbers. Not a good running O-line. Fifth most team rushing yards in the league. Seventh best average per run. Thank you, Sean. Mike Witt, thanks again, buddy. Maybe not this year, but I'm looking forward to Lloyd in this offense. Oh, yes. I very much, much agree and am right there with you. I do not think it's going to happen this year, but he's exciting. He's promising. I'm really excited to watch him in this offense as a kind of regular component. And I do think we're talking about a screen game. I think he could really do some damage in that regard. Dustin, what's up? Imagine snapping the ball at different clock times. They did do a lot of that actually in Seattle. They seem to get back into taking the ball down, the clock down to 1 second in Minnesota. They have got to, you know, kind of mix it up. Now, that's not to say they did it every time in Minnesota, but it was much more noticeable in Seattle. And I think especially on the road, and I get it's difficult, the noise, communication, but getting in and out of the huddle, getting up to the line and snapping the ball and not letting the defense kind of get a beat on you can pay some dividends. And again, they did some of that this past week, but I think they got to do much more of it. All right, buddy, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please have a phenomenal, safe New Year's Eve. I will be here tomorrow on New Year's Day to chat with you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide, not taking the day off. So hope to see you then. If not, I'll see you on Thursday. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. Turn on notifications, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.